Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing is brought to you by Influential, a strategic consultancy that takes the guesswork out of influencer marketing for your brand. We provide much-needed strategically crafted frameworks on how to implement influencer campaigns specific to your brand needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing. And as usual, I'm not riding solo. I've got my wing woman and welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia. How are you today?
I'm great as usual. Please say a big shout out to our listeners who are very special and dear to us.
Yes. As always, thank you so much for tuning in again and downloading. Please remember to keep downloading, share the love with your friends if you think they'd be interested, and hit that subscribe button.
Hit the subscribe button. That's very important. And as usual, our guest is very special today and he's joining us all the way from Brazil. David Wing, welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Anne. It's a pleasure to be here in, in Antwerp.
Yeah, thank you so much for carving time out to speak to us and our audience and to share some of your knowledge about our very interesting and special subject matter. But just a quick one, David is a B2B influencer marketing expert, and today the point is to delve a little into that world. There's a lot of misconceptions, and today what we want to do is we want our expert to truth the untruth, so to speak, and to help us see value, if any, of influencer marketing in the B2B space. So, David, you've got your work cut out for you, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I love a challenge.
Not really. And you've recently moved to Brazil, specifically on Christmas Day. Who does that? Is the family acclimatizing?
People that want slightly cheaper airline tickets.
That's
a plus.
But also in Brazil, we celebrate Christmas actually on Christmas Eve in the UK. So we missed it anyway, but then we were coming over to spend time with the in-laws and and the grandparents and everything. So it really made no difference when we celebrated, just as long as we were together. So
Awesome. And let's jump right into it. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to this point in your illustrious career.
I'm David Wing, and I'm an influencer marketing and thought leadership consultant. I founded Wing Digital Marketing about 3 months ago. But prior to that, I've been working for a number of different agencies in the social media and influencer marketing realm. It's like a lot of marketers, I just kind of fell into influencer marketing. What with the fact that there isn't any or wasn't any actual training available, 10 years ago or so when it started.
100%.
So from my perspective, I did a master's degree in creative writing. I'd always loved creative writing, so that sort of filters into what I do and sort of the character that I put behind everything I write and everything I say. Doing that, once you've got a qualification in creative writing, unless you're actually suddenly really successful, you kind of have to find a job, and usually it's in content writing. I started doing that for an agency and running their social media. I then moved on to a currency exchange business and ran their social and their content and their blogs.
All right.
So sort of affiliate marketing. And then moved on to an agency where I was sort of shuffled into the B2B sector simply because I'm a bit older than the staff members that were there. The CEO was the oldest person there by 1 year, and then it was me. So late in the industry and everything. But I think there was there's certainly an element with B2B in that it's seen as sort of it's for independent experts that have traditional training and have built their own consultancies, their own businesses. So generally, they're seen as in their sort of mid to late 40s or older.
More mature market.
Exactly. So, and so one of your main focus areas is B2B influencer marketing. So let's start right there. What is it?
I scribbled it down on my answers before this thing, I'm going to sort of stick to it to some extent. B2B influencer marketing, it's kind of the digital version of being Don Draper and taking people out for whiskey and steaks. With an internet connection, and obviously dependent on their speed of connection.
Yeah, it's very important.
But from a realistic point of view, it's showcasing a company's worth, its product, its client base, and trying to sidestep the prosaic and the drab and try and, well, sex it up, if you will, with B2B influencer marketing, which basically means stylizing it and making it more accessible. And I think we'll come on to that in a minute, but B2B marketing has generally been seen as a bit of a B2B marketing in general has been seen as a bit of a sort of a gray sector. With this, you know, this element, influencer marketing, really does something to change that, because you're allowing for independent expertise to come through that isn't just your office. It isn't just your C-suite talking, although they're important, but making sure that you've got different characters and different expertise coming through, that they can actually lend a point of view that's as independent as it can be when it's aligned with the brand.
Yeah. So, David, there's obviously, we speak about business-to-business marketing, which is B2B, which you specialize in, and then you get your business-to-consumer marketing, B2C. What is the main differences?
Well, I think the main difference between the two is, popularity and sort of stylistic approach.
Okay.
So B2C is historically the most successful.
Mm-hmm.
If you read any influencer marketing publication at all they say at the beginning of each one is influencer marketing is set to reach 5 billion, 10 billion, 50 billion by the end of 2020 or whatever.
It's
a blanket statement that's used continuously, and it's not wrong, it's just it's a little bit drab. But from a B2C standpoint, it's your mainstay influencer influencers. It's these wonderful famous individuals that have something to say about various products, and it's product selling. Ultimately, it's done on Instagram primarily, Facebook, Pinterest is huge, and now TikTok, as we all know or should all know,
it's coming.
It's ruling the roost. They've just moved into a new office, as far as I've read, and they are now everywhere. But so from a B2C perspective, it's stylized, it's video, it's live, but at the same time, it's crafted very well and performed very well.
Mm-hmm.
And this is through experience over the years. These entrepreneurs branding themselves and building their brands and just understanding who their audience is. The difference between that and B2B is not miles apart. As I said before, B2B, needs to revolutionize its approach, and it is doing. You can see that with a lot of big companies. Companies like Salesforce, like Apple, IBM, HP, all these tech platforms are doing sort of behind the scenes. They are speaking with influencers. They're getting them to shout from the rooftops. They're doing podcasts just like this, some with video, some without. They're doing Twitter lives, Facebook lives, LinkedIn lives when that finally gets a little bit more mainstream. The approach, as I say, is not miles apart. It's just, from a B2B perspective, it's just tailoring your audience more towards businesses that will buy larger scale products, software, rather than a face cream or something else like that for B2C.
Yeah.
So, David, why did you choose to specialize in B2B specifically?
Well, I mean, I was sort of impacted into the area initially, but given the fact that I don't know, I didn't have quite so much an affinity with B2C. I didn't appreciate it quite as much as B2B. I knew from a B2B perspective that I could see the approach. I could talk to people a little bit easier. With B2C, there was, I suppose there was more variety at the time, and there was also I felt too old for it, quite frankly, which is a funny thing to say, but I've just hit 40, you know, but given the fact that everybody's talking about Gen Z now and TikTok and platforms coming through, I think I was about right in that. But yeah, I chose B2C or was sort of directed towards B2C, and I've grown to love it and understand it and appreciate it, and I found some real friends in the B2B influencer marketing realm.
Fair enough.
Like-minded individuals.
Yeah. And when did this type of influencer marketing become popular, and why do you think it did?
It's B2B influencer marketing sort of took off or started rather around 10 years ago, and I was speaking to my friend Tom Hogenfowler, giving a shout out, the influence
he's
marketer.
Great. He's a friend of the podcast. We love Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, I've spoken to him before, yeah. but I mean, Tom did work in the tech industry before working for their PR and their marketing department. Mm. And he was finding that there was a lack of opportunity. You know, he wanted to branch out, and there was a lack of opportunity to do that. And he looked into influencer marketing and trying to get, you know, outside individuals involved. And I think at the time it was a little bit more of a B2C approach, you know, gifting of products and the like.
Yeah.
You see that developed, and it became more a sharing of understanding about businesses. So, you know, we're talking about influencers and experts, as they prefer to be called, that have spent years, sometimes decades, in the business, that have then also happened to have started up a Twitter account or whatever and started sharing content. So it's quite a sort of a natural but fun approach for them.
Yeah.
And they just started doing blog posts and commenting on, you know, different statements and elements and liking things and sharing it. And ultimately that's how it all begins. And it's just people to have an understanding of things together.
Yeah.
Amazing. When you talk about, when you talk about B2B influencer marketing in 2020, we look more at LinkedIn. It's like the most obvious platform that we do B2B marketing. When we think about it, it's people are there in their professional capacity. They're putting their best foot forward. This is where you find where you're the most expert, the most professional. So don't you think it's very difficult for people on there to kind of, when they collaborate, to do authentic influencer marketing? I mean, it's not Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. Oddly enough, there was this very question was asked by Rupa Shah, who's on LinkedIn and talks about legalities around influencer marketing from both perspectives, the B2C and the B2B. Mm. And the question is in regards to B2C and their hashtag ad or hashtag sponsor, and should there be something similar for the B2B realm as well? And I would say yes, there needs to be that. There needs to be something that just says, you know, brand aligned or something along those lines. But from a B2B perspective, on LinkedIn and even Twitter as well, but mainly LinkedIn, there's an audience there that understands that if you're talking about these things, you've already built up your profile. They already know that you're an established, reputable individual. You can see that just from scrolling down the feed and seeing whether it's bot automated, you know, the same stuff going out over and over. But B2B is generally seen to be a bit more respected, which is where the question about, you know, a hashtag sponsored or hashtag ad was relevant for them. I think it is. I think it just needs to be tailored a little bit more towards the B2B audience.
But don't you think on B2B marketing on LinkedIn specifically, is it not more about the person speaking about the company they work for or, you know, but not kind of collaborating with other companies? Because that's a bit strange, going out and punting someone else when you're over here working for, you know, product B.
Yeah, I think there's a separation between B2B influencer promotion and actually being employed, because with the B2B individuals, generally they're not paid for their service.
Yeah.
Which is surprising for those people that work in B2C, because they're like, well, hang out.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. or experts, shouldn't they be getting tens and twenties of thousands of pounds for their blog posts and such? And my answer is yes, they ought to be. If they are solely promoting, you know, your Dells or your HPs or working specifically for them, you know, and even for a program or campaign perspective, I think they ought to be getting paid. At the moment, they you know, they get their transport paid as long as they're not, you know, flying from Brazil to the UK or something like that. They, you know, if they're writing a blog post, you'll share their content, they'll share yours. It's very much a mutual beneficial exchange there. And it's different to B2C. But I'd like to see them getting paid because they put in a lot of effort, and B2B has this way of sharing content for free most of the time. Everything I put out is an opinion based on something that I've read that I believe in or have understanding of. And I'm not asking people to pay for that or to download it.
I think it's just for me trying to wrap my head around, because when we speak about B2B influence marketing, it's more about employee advocacy. Mm-hmm. So if I use my employees to kind of spread the love of the expertise that they have in my company and build up to be this great place to work at and being the experts in the industry, and all of a sudden I see they doing another company's kind of bidding, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Yeah. I don't see that this, unless, so if in this scenario, your employee is, a B2C influencer rather than a B2B, and they're talking about, you know, a face cream or a perfume or something like that, that has nothing to do with your own business.
Yeah, no.
And it's built up, then I see no reason why they can't have that. I mean, obviously contractually, you know, you decide whether or not they're allowed to do extracurricular work. Whereas from a B2B perspective, you know, if they're suddenly, they are advocating for a different platform or a different business that's in direct competition to yours, well then, that's a real issue.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to have a stern word and say, look, you can't be doing this. You know, this is counterproductive for us.
Got it. That's what I wanted to figure out, because I was like, employee advocacy is so personal to the realm you're working in that all of a sudden you can't be talking about other people.
No, to be fair, I mean, if your staff are advocates for your company, if they're really invested in it, they should be espousing the virtues of that business online across their social. Generally, you know,
exactly.
The B2B channels like, you know, Twitter and LinkedIn, they should be sharing it because they should want to benefit the company and they should be wanting to grow themselves within the company.
100%.
Most of you know that Influential is our podcast sponsor. But did you know that my co-host Anne heads up the agency? And that is the first ever boutique agency in South Africa that specializes in developing strategy for influencer marketing. Anne and her team are experts in the field and have spent years honing their skills and knowledge about influencer marketing and at some of the country's biggest PR and media agencies. The moment that you think you might want an influencer campaign, make sure to call or email them first, because without strategy, you might not have the outcomes that you would like and are looking for. In addition to talking all things influence on this podcast, and also puts together the fantastic Influential newsletter that comes out every month. And this is another way for you to keep up to date with the industry. The link to latest newsletter is in the show notes. Check it out, and if you like, please subscribe. And contact details are also on there. Let's keep the conversation flowing.
So what is the big benefit then for companies to incorporate B2B influencer marketing in their strategies?
It's variety. Because traditionally you see marketing and advertising and PR, and they are, you know, a billboard advert or a promoted advert on a social channel. You know, just a straight shot of something or a stylized graphic or even a video animation. As valuable as all of those aspects are, they don't have any kind of independence or separation of states, if you will, from the business and, you know, and the individual who's built up their profile. So if you reach out to an influencer on B2B that's maybe got 10, 20, 50,000 followers on Twitter, you know, they're likely, have a look at their profile, they'll have something, they'll be talking about valuable content, and they are 100% valuable because they are independent of your traditional approach. And they show variety, and they'll do a Twitter Live, they'll do a podcast, they'll be a, do a Twitter chat or a LinkedIn chat. They'll take part in anything and everything. And this wonderful digital world, I mean, we're talking now between South Africa and Brazil. I mean, there's other than a physical activation where you want to send them to a conference or whatever, or you want them to come to a round table, then you can make use of influencers everywhere.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. So next to my on to my next question, what makes employees great influencers for the companies they work at? And here I suppose it's expected of them to be digitally visible on behalf of their companies, and specifically on LinkedIn.
I mean, for an employee to become a real advocate of their company, then they need to be regularly sharing updates. Behind the scenes is a wonderful approach for a lot of businesses, and shows real character. I certainly believe, you know, I fiercely believe that that if your staff is doing these little sort of ad hoc videos or taking photos, you know, you've got donut day, you've got you know, we're doing a charitable aspect today, we're doing a fun run for this cancer charity or whatever. We've released this product, I believe in it 100%. Yes, I work, but this is my channel and my approach, you know, there's nothing in my contract that makes me do this. I want to do this. Those that shout from the rooftops how happy they are. And this can also be, and it's not just about the software, but it's also about the environment and the management as well. And it doesn't mean, you know, saying, oh, I turned up to work and Anna was there to give me a lift in, or, you know, to give me a lift home late at night or whatever, you know, although that'd be nice. It's truly having this passion for where you work, and it comes across.
100%.
You just need to understand that it can't be directed by the business. There needs to be some oversight. You know, they need to say what they, the kind of things that they can say. You know, they can't sort of, you know, they can't say anything a bit too risque or whatever. But it's a business. They should understand this. Espousing the virtues of that business on a regular basis, that's the hallmark of an employee advocate.
Yeah.
No, exactly. So when do you think companies should consider employee advocacy when they're doing their marketing strategies? Or do you think it's like an always-on thing?
I think it is, especially for companies that are starting now. Because as we stand at the minute, we've got all these businesses and brands that are now incorporating influencer marketing into their strategy. But you just look at any startup over the last couple of years, and it's there already. Their management is active, and their staff is active, and they're talking to clientele, their customers, they're sharing anything and everything they can. Content is everywhere on social media, to the point that your laptop is hemorrhaging it at this point. It's just it's so difficult to find, you know, to find the right piece of content, simply because there's so much of it. And choosing one thing over another is difficult to do. Influencer marketing and employee advocacy and social media and all of these aspects, they don't cost the world. They just need a little bit of savvy, a little bit of reading. You know, spend a week looking at it, reading up on when to post, where to post, what kind of content. And generally, you know, looking at who they can interact with, building up their followership. Not blanket following people, just looking at people that are relevant and have something to offer, and just being personable and approachable. And this is something that traditionally brands haven't been. But with social media, Twitter in particular, customer service is seen as what Twitter is for these days. You know, a lot of brands don't even have the little chat sections. They just say, you can go to our Twitter and we'll speak to you there. Even if they're a brand themselves. I know Vero is really active, and we've spoken about Vero before now, but I know that they're really on Twitter as an avenue for their customer service, and they are on the ball with it. They respond within 15 minutes. It's huge turnaround time, and other businesses do the same.
No, exactly. So then, what is the biggest pitfalls of B2B influencer marketing, and how can companies avoid that potentially?
it's trust, you know, like any other relationship. Influencer marketing, it's not influencer marketing, it's relationship marketing.
Yes.
It's 100%. Building that camaraderie and that understanding stuff. And I think with influencer marketing, it's all about taking your time to get to know these experts, just like it ought to be with B2C, but because in B2C, you're talking about brands who want to sell a product and sell it fast. They have maybe a 1 day or a 1 week campaign where they want, you know, 20 influencers all sharing at this particular minute, at this particular hour, so they can capitalize on a hashtag so they can trend, so that people will see it, so they'll download or buy or use their link or whatever. That's how it ought to be, in that you should be able to take time to cultivate these relationships. And over time, you know, if you're using the same influencers in B2C, you will cultivate these relationships, but it's not like the cost will run down. Yeah. Whereas with B2B, if you're spending that time, you say, hey, you know, hey, Anne, how are you doing? Do you want to take part in this, you know, in this activation? You know, hey, Cindy, are you going to be able to answer these questions for a blog post?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll share it. If you share it, it'll all be great. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
You know, it's an ongoing relationship. And while digitally I can't take you to the pub and buy you a drink and say thanks that way, you know, I can send you a gift, you know, with a smiley face. I can, you know, I can send you a link, or I can recommend you to a friend who's doing something else, or I can tell you that there's a conference that I've been approached to take part in, but I can't go. Would you like to go? I think you're the person for it.
Yeah.
You know, these are relationships that they build with brands as well and companies. So it's all reciprocal.
Yeah.
You're so right about that.
Yeah. And in your opinion, are we ever going to get to a time where B2B influencer marketing is as popular as B2C influencer marketing anytime soon?
That you was, don't think so? That was a very succinct.
Yeah, that was like, not happening.
No, I think it will be very popular. I also think it will be part of a lot of B2B companies. I just don't think it will be as popular as B2C, simply because there are more people than there are brands. There are more buyers of simple products than there are companies that buy giant products. You know, if you're looking, you know, percentage wise, you might see it that way. You might see it popular in the same percentage scale, similarly, maybe.
Mm.
But there's, as you would go along, people will start to understand and are starting to understand the value, and they'll start to incorporate it. But it won't have quite the same impact as B2C.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense. Like you say, there's more kind of consumers out there than businesses, you know, that does B2B marketing. You're doing a series on your LinkedIn called Hashtag Marketing Journeys, which is fantastic. Everyone listening, go on to LinkedIn, follow the hashtag, follow David. It's great. Where he basically does this series where he interviews professionals in the industry, especially in influencer marketing, and kind of look at trends going on everywhere. I've been fortunate to be featured. Thank you so much, David. It was great fun. But doing these interviews, have you realized that there is kind of like uniform trends across markets? Doesn't matter what country it is or what continent it is. And what's those biggest differences?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest difference, just to start there, is simply the scale and the adoption of influencer marketing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the US sort of led the way, UK and then Europe sort of filtered through. But like with anything, China just sort of gets the bit between the teeth and just saturates it. So, you know, even if we're not using, you know, WeChat or Weibo or any of their marketing avenues and any of their, you know, social media, it's impossible not to see it. And TikTok obviously is a massive element now as well.
Yes.
What surprised me is that speaking to Daisuke Kobayashi, who's also been on marketing journeys as well, based out of Japan, he's sort of the industry leader there. And he's been very, very clear and said that Japan has been somewhat behind the mark, and taking their time to sort of get their feet wet in the influencer marketing realm, which is surprising given historically Japan's adoption of technology and their approach towards things. But I can see that coming forward straight fairly shortly. But trends across the board are the social platforms. You just can't escape things like TikTok now. I'd like to think that Vero will come through because they're seen as an honest and sort of non-analytical, non-AI based social media platform, whereas everything else.
With you on that one. I would love for more people to start using Vero just because they're putting the social back in social media.
That's right. I mean, it's not to give too much praise in itself or to tailor this entire conversation towards Vero, but I'm a self-advocate for them. I spoke with their CEO the other day, Ayman Haruhi, and I know you've spoken to him as well.
I have.
And if anybody listening gets the opportunity to converse with Ayman, and generally you'll be able to do it either through Vero or generally more so through Twitter. Yeah. If you have a question, he'll answer it. He's a CEO that's active and wants to give you honest insight and tell you why he's doing this and why it's important. And for him, it's important because it's an honest platform that doesn't look to capitalize on its audience. It's not making money. He's spending the money himself. He's trying to build this community. There's about 3 million people on there. There should be more. It's for artists, it's for people that want to share what they have because they put time and effort into it. Mm-hmm. And they don't care whether or not it's making money, they care about people, getting to see what they've got.
Exactly.
And that's what I'd like happening across social and, blanket form and influencer marketing as well. It's difficult, to regulate influencer marketing and judge it based on just engagement.
We are almost at the end of our very interesting conversation, David. Please give our listeners 3 tips of what to do if they want to play in the B2B influencer marketing space.
Yeah, I like it. Number one, spend some time identifying and vetting your potential expert or influencer partners.
That's important.
Like anything else, I mean, they are people that you're going to work with for months or years to come. You should know them. You should like them. You should not dread getting on the phone with them or begging for them to put content out that you've agreed to do. And ultimately, it's both your reputation and your brand's reputation. So if you're aligning yourself with somebody that you haven't properly vetted and haven't properly spoken to, then
problems.
You're hiding to nothing here. You need to worry about things.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And where can listeners find you online and social media?
Well, generally you'll find me bouncing around LinkedIn occasionally. I build that a
naturally,
little bit more.
I
use it quite so much recently. Obviously, I've espoused a virtue on Vero, so I'm on there as the influencer marketer. Sorry, Tom, I kind of stole the influence marketer from you. Okay. But I added an R, so there is difference slightly. And also, I'm having a play and investigating with Pinterest as well, which has begun to be a bit more of a B2B avenue recently as well. So be interested to see what comes of that.
Amazing. What are you excited to see happening in the industry this year?
I'd like to see Vero. I mean, I think we spoke about this as well. Vero is a big thing. I'd like to see, from a B2B influencer marketing standpoint, I'd like to see a more inventive use of the social posts that are going out, the tactics that are put into play. Doesn't need to be quite so regimented. I'm providing consultancy for a number of companies at the minute, and the big tip I'm giving all of them, and to be honest, it should be for everybody, is this behind the scenes, this realism, this honesty, approach to their marketing. Because people, as much as everybody likes a stylized approach and it's very shareable, if you can just show a little bit of thought and a little bit of hope and a little bit of character behind what you're putting out.
Yeah.
I think people lend themselves more to it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Thank you so much, David, for joining us all the way from Brazil.
Yes,
and sharing
you.
Your knowledge and insights on B2B market, B2B influencer marketing. Thank you so much. And I hope you will enjoy the noise from the buses. But it's time for us to, yeah. And any last words? And where do our people find you?
Well, from me, David, thank you so much for making time. We know you are busy. You're in a new country.
Yeah.
So thank you. And I think everyone should follow you on LinkedIn for your expertise. But for Influential, you can find us on LinkedIn and Twitter at InfluentialSA. And just keep up to date and just be part of the conversation, people.
Yes. And we are Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing on Facebook.
Please follow.
Share your journeys. Comment, like, share. And yeah, let's all have fun with the subject line. David, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
I
will obviously chat in all of those platforms that you mentioned. Thank you so much.
Great.
Thanks, David.
A true pleasure. Thank you very much, and I'll see you all on digital.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bye, listeners. We love you. Next time.